We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, J.R. Radcliffe. You can find his work at the Journal Sentinel. Find him on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. J.R., how you doing today, pal?
Hey, J.R.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Rhett, did you think the Brewers were going to let that game slip away if they had played a full nine innings?
The way the season's going, of course. You have to wonder about that. And even going into the game, there was that concern because the weather forecast called for that rain sometime around 9 o'clock. You know, 9 o'clock, and you figured that would be right around the time the bullpen would be at work. You didn't know if the ball would get slippery. I mean, every time it rains and the Brewers have a lead, I have, you know, flashbacks to that game right before the All-Star break last year in Pittsburgh where everything fell apart kind of as the rain started to fall. That felt like the low point of the season in 2018. And, of course, things got a lot better after that. But that's always a concern. Not sad to see that one canceled.
JR, we're talking about blown saves. And on that note, are you concerned at all about Josh Hader, or have we just found out this season maybe he's human after all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's in a pretty big slump, but it's easy when a guy gets into a really big slump to overlook kind of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is he is still he's really as dominant a reliever as there is right now. There aren't many dominant relievers, and the way the baseball is flying, there aren't really many dominant pitchers, period. So you kind of have to take that in context. And you look at a guy, you know, he's not a reliever, but Justin Verlander has given up a staggering number of home runs for as good as he is. And he's still regarded as one of the best in the game. He is one of the best in the game. He pitches for the best team in the game. You just have to live with some of these home runs. And I'm not saying that's really the root cause of what Hader is dealing with when it comes to the hard contact. Really, we haven't had a pitcher like this guy who's capable of missing bats the way he is and also giving up this hard contact. But he's still very good. And especially when your bullpen is struggling, you know, my concern wouldn't necessarily be with the guy who is still clearly the best option out there. It's with kind of everybody else. So right now it's kind of a rough patch, and it's definitely a weird statistical thing. But I still look at him and I still see one of the best relievers in baseball.
Yeah, that Verlander comparison, really good. Another guy that strikes out a lot of batters and then gives up home runs. Another guy that throws pretty hard is Freddy Peralta. Where do you see his future? Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? His velocity was hitting 96, but those last five appearances before being sent down, he was just awful. I asked this to Adam McAlvey the other day. Just what is his future with this team?
It's amazing now that they've got these really two huge enigmas when it comes to what their roles are down the road with him and Corbin Burnes. I'd be fascinated to know what the long-term plan is with Corbin Burnes as well. But, anytime you've got a guy with that kind of talent and that youth still on his side, I'm sure they're going to try to make him a starting pitcher, and they're going to certainly give him every opportunity to do that. I'm really surprised the Brewers kept him on the roster this long, a guy who's 22 years old and could easily, you know, go back to AAA and start working on full-fledged repertoire, getting reps as a starter. But they love his arm, clearly. I mean, they love him. Or he wouldn't have been here as long as he was. And we obviously saw some flashes out of the bullpen, too. I still think they need to figure out his secondary pitches. And if there's any way to sort of work those in a little more regularly, I still think you use him as a starter first and foremost, and if he doesn't work out there, then maybe you go back to a bullpen role. But I have to think next year they look at him as somebody who's going to compete for his job in the starting rotation.
Do you think all those – I mean, obviously Woodruff is going to be back in the starting rotation. You know, hopefully he's all healed from the oblique by then, and you might even see him back this year. You know, we're not counting him out yet. But even a guy like Corbin Burnes, they're not giving up on him. Struggled a little bit at Triple-A, certainly gave up the home run ball here. But, I mean, Burnes, he's a guy that they're going to have to depend on for next year and give him another crack at this in spring training, aren't they?
I think absolutely true. Yeah, I don't know if they're in a position where they have to depend on him. There's certainly a lot of alarm bells going off with what you've seen with his results this year. But the stuff is still there. You know, you hear a lot about how great his spin rate is relative to other pitchers in baseball and how elite it is. We've seen him perform at a high level in high leverage situations last year. I mean, pitchers don't just completely fall off a cliff like that when they're this young. So, they've sent him back to Arizona. They're kind of retooling him a little bit, you know, kind of putting him in the garage. Don't really know what's going on, but they're going to try to figure out what this is, if it's mental, if it's physical, if it's health. I mean, honestly, who knows at this point? It's just baffling. But I'm sure they're definitely not giving up on him, and I don't know for sure that he is going to be a starter down the road, but he is for sure going to be in the pitching picture in some capacity and not as a mop-up guy. Like, he's too good to just, just hope you get a few innings out of him. He's going to be somebody that they rely on. And you watch him in 2018, like, guys like that don't grow on trees. They're not going to be able to find somebody to just, you know, they're not just going to move on and find somebody who's going to fill that role at the same level as he did in 2018. So I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to rediscover that, whether it's a starter or a bullpen. I have no idea at this point. But yeah, Burns is a big part of what's to come.
We're talking with J.R. Radcliffe. You can find his work at jsonline.com. While we're on the topic of struggling relievers, let's go with Jeremy Jeffress now. If he has another appearance like Tuesdays, can you continue to trust him? Because he has been really, really bad at times this year. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm still probably in a boat where you wouldn't necessarily want to see him in the highest leverage situations this year. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before. His 2018 was just so out of sight. He was bound to come down to earth a little bit. His raw numbers aren't quite as good as his peripherals, but his peripherals aren't great. I still personally believe there's got to be some health issue there. You know, I think he's probably, you know, he had some nagging stuff at the outset. He's been dealing with nicks here and there. I still think that's probably playing a role. I saw somebody indicate something. I don't know. I haven't vetted this, but the way the baseballs are now make it difficult for guys who use the split finger a lot. It makes it difficult to get a really good grip. And if that's true, that would maybe help explain what's going on with him and Junior Garrett to a degree as well. Yeah, I don't know for sure if that's what's happening or not, but clearly something has changed from 2018 to 2019 for him. And I would love to see him, you know, get back into his position where he's a high-leverage, dominant reliever. I think that ship has probably sailed given his age and where we're at with him. But that's a guy that you can't just cast a guy like that aside. He's obviously got a lot. You know, he's got a lot going for him, or he's had a lot going for him, and I'm sure they're going to try to rediscover that.
Yeah, I think the team's got the option on the contract next year for Jeffress, whether they pick it up or not. That's for like right around $4 million. But Jeffress, you see his demeanor on the mound, and you look at him, and it looks like, man, he looks like a tough. I mean, I've got to know Jeffress a little bit from doing commercials with him. You know, good guy. His demeanor on the mound, he's got that Bob Gibson look to him a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick your ass demeanor. It's just that the results aren't there, and he's walking guys and just doing some things that have been just uncharacteristic stuff we saw toward the end of the postseason last year too.
Yeah, and I would still look at the postseason last year. I still think he ran into some bad luck a little bit. I mean, yes, he wasn't quite as dominant in the postseason as he was in the regular season. I think what we remember is him kind of falling apart in the postseason, and I do think he just ran into some bad luck in addition to just a couple tough pitches there. But I agree with what you're saying. The swagger maybe down a little bit this year because the results have been down a little bit. And he's a tremendous dude. I know that people really like him in that clubhouse, and they should. I know everybody's sort of rooting for him to bounce back a little bit. He's the way the bullpen is structured, he's not going to lack for opportunities. He's not going to get buried in a mop-up role. They can't afford that. They've got too many other guys who are struggling. So you're going to see him in some big spots. And I think at this point, it's a little bit more hope that he pulls out of it than there really is anything to point to. But you know, we've seen him, like with Corbin Burns or a lot of these guys, we've seen him perform at such a high level in such a recent past. You've got to think that there may be some adjustments that can be made to get him back into a pretty high leverage situation.
Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM The Fan, checking in with J.R. Radcliffe. You can find his work at the Journal Sentinel. J.R., let's say this team actually gets hot. They're 3.5 games back from the Cubs right now. Let's say they get themselves into maybe a wild card situation, and Brandon Woodruff, I know he's expected to be back sometime in the middle of September, but he's not ready. Who would you trust in this rotation to start a one game you have to win, one game win it all game?
We don't have any more trade deadlines, do we?
No. Maybe Jordan Lyles.
Yeah, I'm not getting Gio Gonzalez or any of that kind of guy.
Yeah, well, Gio Gonzalez actually started a couple pretty big games last year down the stretch.
He did, and I like him too. Yes.
Yeah, and in the playoffs, he's certainly a reliable veteran. He's going to give you five, maybe six quality innings. He's going to keep you in the game. So that's an easy answer. I mean, Adrian Hauser's an easy answer right now. You don't know what you have with him in terms of experience, but he's as good a starter as they have at the moment. You know, made five overall, very good resume in his starts so far. And, you know, it's crazy to think that as many starting pitchers as they've had and that they've had sort of that you sort of could figure might get some starts this year, that Adrian Hauser is the guy right now that is that has the best numbers. So I think if they found themselves in the limited playoff, I think Gio Gonzalez would be the guy they line up at this point, assuming Brandon Woodruff does not come back. But one of the big worries I would have about Woodruff, if he even comes back at all, in mid-September is when he would be targeting, and there's no minor league season anymore. You know,
right.
Everything wraps up, so there's no way to send him on it. You'd have to field test him. You'd have to throw him in the middle of a game, and every game is going to matter. If the Brewers are going to, you know, get back into this race, they can't afford to, you know, mess around with stuff. So I don't even know how they would work him back in, if at all. So that's a big concern. I mean, honestly, I would be at this point. I'd be a little surprised if we saw some meaningful contributions from Brandon Woodruff down the stretch, or even Yoli Chiesin.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying as well. Now let me play devil's advocate. Let's say this team does not go on a run; they miss the postseason altogether. Is there any chance Mike Moustakas or Yasmani Grandal are back next year? Maybe both, or just either of them?
They should certainly give it a try. I wouldn't plan on Yasmani Grandal coming back. I think he's going to command a pretty good. A pretty good contract, multi-year contract. But then again, I would have said that this offseason too. You know, it's not like he's gotten markedly better or worse. He's just plainly, I mean, I think he's the best catcher in baseball, or in the National League anyway, since 2016. So I don't quite know why he wasn't able to command more than he did. You know, Mike Moustakas is a guy they should absolutely try to keep in the fold. He has good relationships, obviously, with Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich, both guys that will probably be back next year. You would certainly expect them to be back. He has done everything they've asked him to do. He's played multiple positions. He's a solid defender. He's actually a pretty solid defender. He obviously is now up to 31 home runs, and that's pretty, you know, he's going to threaten his career best. It's one of his best seasons. I think by OPS, it might be his best season. He's you know, he'll be 31. He'll be age 31 season next year. He won't be getting younger, but, you know, maybe you can sneak him back on a two-year deal still. And after the last two off seasons, he'd probably be willing to kind of do something like that. I don't know, but they have so many holes. If those guys both leave, third base and catcher are both big-time concerns unless they can get Travis Shaw back on track. You don't really know what's going to happen at first base. I think Orlando Arcia will be back at shortstop, but that's a little bit unclear. I've talked about the starting pitching. They obviously need to address that somehow. And the relief pitching, I mean, that's a lot of holes. So it would be really nice if they could bring one of those guys back and just not worry about that position, because otherwise they got a lot of roster reconstruction to do.
You know, that's what I've been saying. I said, you know, next year, looking ahead of next year, they got some things they got to fill on this team. No, it isn't. They got some spots they got to fill on this roster, and, you know, you just mentioned a handful of them right there. And plus, in addition to that, they got to get guys like Arcia, you know, turned around eventually. I feel like the Arcia thing has been trying to turn him on has been a long time coming.
Yeah, I think at this point you have to accept that Orlando Arcia is probably an average shortstop, both actually offensively and defensively, the whole package. Mm-hmm. He can probably be above average defensively a little bit, but the metrics just don't love him, I think, as much as we want to love him. And you know, the offensive profile is sort of what it is. He's got a little bit of power. He's hopefully going to reach base at a 300 clip, but that's probably where you're at with him. So they would have to decide, okay, is average shortstop good enough going forward? You know, with all the other holes I just mentioned, I kind of think it has to be. I mean, I don't know if you can address all those things in one off season and do so with enough of an upgrade that you would say, okay, we'll definitely move on from Orlando Arcia. But yeah, that's certainly concerned. This offseason, it's not great. It's on, and I don't know what they address first. I would think pitching, but we've thought that the last couple off seasons they haven't done it. I don't know if they're averse to that or if it's just too difficult to pull off. I don't know, but there's so much that's going to have to be amended this offseason. And you know, outside of the outfield, they're on second base. There's just a ton of question marks. It's going to be a little tough. I don't know how they quite do it, but. You know, David Stearns has worked some magic before, so we'll see.
JR, thanks a lot, man. You excited for some preseason football tonight?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It's a big
Winnipeg.
One. Yep.
The half-filled stadium in Manitoba with preseason football. That is something I will have to set my DVR for. Mm-hmm.
Yep, on the DVR. Thanks a lot, man. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, you bet. I'll talk to you later.
That's J.R. Radcliffe. Find his work at JS Online at the Journal Sentinel. You can find him on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe, not J.F. That's not going to get you anything. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.